If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Row.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Row.
It's time now for Conversations with the Mayor. Support coming from the members of the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro, encouraging you to put down your mouse and get out of the house. Local businesses are inviting you to mask up, buy local, and engage in safe commerce. Visit carolinachamber.org to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership. As you could gather from the song, we're talking Carrboro today, and we're joined on the phone by Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Mayor, thank you so much for being with us. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing, Aaron?
All right. So townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government. Always a lot going on. Town Council had a meeting earlier this week to talk about the 203 South Greensboro project, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But we literally just had Glenn Jones here in the studio a few minutes ago, sharing details about the Carrboro Music Festival, which is going to be October 3rd and 4th in Carrboro and here at this station as well. We're going to be one of the venues this year. So what are your thoughts about still having a festival this year in spite of everything that's going on?
Yeah, you know, I was listening to that, of course, before I got on the air here. And it was exciting to hear Glenn, you know, name all of those groups, some familiar, some not so familiar, the locations, some of which we know very well when we're there in person. You know, I was trying to think through that day, because I always tell people, you know, the most wonderful day of the year in Carrboro is the Carrboro Music Festival. And, you know, and I guess, you know, one thing I might do is really push it out to my friends, you know, outside of Carrboro,
yeah,
too. So, hey, they get to experience this day with us, even though they can't be here. And I think certainly for those of us that appreciated the outdoor experience or the walking around or the social atmosphere, we could put that music out on our porches or outside and enjoy it, you know, enjoy it in another way, right? But I'm really delighted to hear that we're going to have so many acts, you know, more acts on Saturday, right? And then, of course, all the different locations on Sunday, including WCHL. So, yeah, I got a little bit excited hearing Glenn talk about it. I think it's going to be awesome.
That's awesome. And you're exactly right. Like, I know it's been such a challenge to do anything at all through the pandemic, but the kind of the one silver lining of having to go online with all of these events is you don't have to be in a particular place in order to enjoy them. I was talking with Max Orr of Carolina Public Humanities about the same thing. Like, they do all of these events at Flyleaf Books or on campus at this location or that, and you have to be in Chapel Hill physically in order to experience it. But now it's online, and you can sign up and register and take part in it from literally anywhere. So that's the one little silver lining there, and that's certainly true with the festival.
Yeah, I think I would also urge folks to you know, two things. Number one, if you are in the Carrboro area, perhaps you know, pick up, carry out, or take out, or
yep,
or go to a restaurant that has outdoor seating or whatever on that day, just to kind of, you know, just kind of support the area as you would if we were there live. And the other is, I heard Glenn mention too that there's going to be an ability to reach out and, you know, make a donation toward the groups that are performing at the festival this year. And so again, just, you know, one more way to try to support our artists that are having just as hard a time as many of us during this pandemic.
Yeah, and certainly local businesses as well. I know we just got the word earlier this afternoon, like right before I went on the air, that Elmo's is permanently closing, and that's just such an institution in Carrboro.
Such an institution. You know, and when you think about the model for a breakfast place, and I've actually kind of heard this across the country, right? It does not work to operate as a takeout. It doesn't work to operate at half capacity. I mean, breakfast places where you sit down and have a breakfast, I mean, they're really built on the business model of high turnover and big crowds at certain times of the day. So it's really kind of a heartbreaking announcement, though.
Yeah, speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle again, townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government, including the Carrboro Town Council, who, as we mentioned at the top, and we'll come to it now, just had a meeting a couple of days ago with one very big item on the agenda, and that's a continued update on progress for a very big project in downtown Carrboro, the 203 South Greensboro Street development that's slated to begin construction a year from now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a kind of adventurous timeline, you know, and you know, one that you know will likely shift a bit, but it's one that we've laid out and it's been presented to us on at least two, maybe three occasions so far this year, and that's one point I want to make about the project presentation that we received on Tuesday. You know, this project, of course, has been in the hopper for years and years and years, and I believe it was about almost 2 years ago we got our first round of what the building might look like when the Arts Center was a part of it. And then, of course, about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, the Arts Center then had to make a decision whether to go forward or not. They decided not to. And so since that time, we've kind of been reworking the partners that are going to be a part of the project. And so now it's not just the Southern Branch Library. It's not just our town recreation parks and cultural resources departments and programs, but also the Orange County Skills Development Center and some other county departments, and also the Virtual Justice Center, WCOM, a teen center. So one thing folks, you know, who are following the project or who want an update on the project need to know is it's a really collaborative partnership between all of those groups. And it's almost to the point where it's nearly 50-50 in terms of funds going into the building between us and the county, which is, you know, kind of awesome. And, you know, you can receive an update about everything if you just Google 203 Project Carborough, and it takes you right to a page that's got all this information about the project. And this actually is the fourth time during this pandemic that we've gotten an update on the project. Six times this year, but the fourth time during the pandemic. And so this spring and summer, we authorized staff to continue to move forward with Perkins and Will and to have them go ahead and, you know, redo the architectural drawings. We gave guidance on how to incorporate parking into the facility because we heard from our local businesses their concern about losing the 88 spaces that are there in that lot. And so what we received Tuesday night, and none of us saw it until Tuesday night, and it was a fire hose, Aaron. I mean, we got a lot of information Tuesday night. But it was really exciting. We saw kind of, showed us different designs. They had looked at three different designs as they had before. And as it shook out, the design that really met all of the needs of the building, the cost to build, the parking we need, turned out to be a design that they refer to as the float. And so if people want to see what that would look like, you can kind of go to our 203 project page. It has the library on the ground level, you know, kind of facing Greensboro Street, very open. It has a pedestrian road, a road, but also where cars can go, but also where people can walk along Roberson Street, much like Wall Street in downtown Asheville, mm-hmm. if anyone's familiar with that. And then it just has, it's very, really thoughtful design. As I said, it's got ample parking in it to serve not just the uses in that structure, but also adding a lot of parking spaces that were taken up by the building. It's got, as you know, a projected timeline. But the main takeaway I want folks to understand is that all throughout the fall, we're going to be having sessions where people can really kind of look at this project and hear more about the details of the project and understand the schematic design of the project. We're going to have a few different virtual meetings over the next couple weeks. We're going to have some drop-in events with safety protocols, probably at the farmers market. We're hoping to put up some posters or some other kind of drawings that people can go and look at actually right at the site, right at the parking where the parking lot is, so they can kind of envision what would go there. And then the timeline is really such that if it stays on track, that the schematic designs and then the more detailed designs would go through a process with the town, just like any other developer kind of with the town, a permitting process that would require approval by our council kind of along the way and then culminating in perhaps breaking ground next fall. But we're a little ways from that, but it's really exciting to have seen the design come forward.
Very cool. And again, townofcarborough.org is the town's website. A lot of information about the 203 project there. You can look at pictures. You can look at comparisons with Wall Street, as Mayor Lavelle mentioned, and a whole lot of details about where things stand right now, plus, again, where the process is going to be going in the future. Speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and so we... Are you
can
there?
I just mention one more
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry. I wanted to mention one more thing about the project, because we did receive some feedback from our local business community, the Carborough Business Alliance, with concerns about the project, about us moving forward with the project, given that our businesses are suffering so greatly from the pandemic. And so we heard their concerns, and we are trying to respond to those concerns as best we can, and we recognize that the pandemic has been horrific for our local businesses, but we're trying to also balance this idea of this project ultimately bringing in more people that can then eat downtown, go to businesses downtown. And so so that's one concern we heard from our businesses is their concern about disrupting downtown with construction right on the heels of a pandemic. However, you know, there's a couple of other points I want to make, and that is I think that the local businesses hadn't seen the project just like we hadn't until Tuesday night, the new revised project, and I hope they appreciate the fact that we heard a lot of their concerns about the parking. And I hope that, you know, if the project goes forward, we can work on some of the concerns they have about how construction might make it harder for people to go downtown and how we might be able to mitigate that moving forward with the project. So anyway, long story short, we're in the stage of really getting feedback from not just our local businesses, from the entire community throughout this fall, and we look forward to receiving that.
Other things going on in town that folks ought to know about?
Let's see. So we have, we had a lot of rain the last couple of days.
Fair.
And you know, just per usual, our great public works staff was out there, you know, looking for potential local impacts, trying to prepare, trying to clear culverts, pushing out that message, especially in our areas that know when we get a lot of rain, it could mean a lot of flooding, for folks to, try to look at their different, you know, what loose debris they have and how their gutters look and just kind of securing things to try to alleviate any problems. Thank goodness, you know, we really didn't have the massive kind of rain that we could have had and certainly that some places had. So that was kind of good. With regard to our ongoing food distribution that we're having in Carborough, we've had a few distribution at least once a month for the last couple of months, and so we have another one scheduled in Carborough at the high school for next Thursday, that's September 24th, in the morning at Carborough High School from 9:30 to 11. Again, that's open to anyone. You know, you kind of stay in your car, you drive in, first come, first serve, you get the food, no one checks anything, and there also are masks there if folks need them. It's sponsored by the town of Carborough and the Orange County Social Services Department, and our we really appreciate, you know, the volunteers that go out there and help with that event every month. I know there's never enough to go around, but we always do serve a lot of folks with that particular food distribution, and it's really meaningful.
Are there enough volunteers? Do you need volunteers?
I think there was one month where it might have been the height of summer where they put out an extra push for volunteers and they managed to get them. But I think there's usually 30 or 40 people. Mm-hmm. It varies a little bit each month. But, you know, if anyone is interested in volunteering, they could reach out to the town of Carborough, to our town clerk, and she could put them in touch with Rebecca Buzzard, who's one of our coordinators with those efforts every month. The more hands, the merrier, I think, on something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's next week, Thursday, at Carborough High School in the morning. We'll be getting the word out about that here on the Hill over the course of next week as well. Townofcarborough.org for more information on town government, more information on the 203 South Greensboro project. You can keep apprised of that. And don't forget to mark your calendars for the Carborough Music Festival, October 3rd and 4th. That's just a couple of weeks away. Mayor Lydia Lavelle, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.